This episode of the Educated Ignorance Podcast is brought to you by the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network. Subscribe to the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network on your favorite podcast platform for the newest episodes of The Data Lab with Professor John Bush and Dennis Mickelson, as well as new episodes every week of Card Subject to Change, our new wrestling podcast with CZ and Nick. And three times a week, releasing episodes on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, the Educated Ignorance Podcast. On Mondays, you will get full breakdowns of the Sunday night football game, as well as a couple quick-hitting topics from some of the NFL action on Sunday. Tuesday will be a quick-hitting reaction of the Monday night football game, as well as a full slate review of the Sunday games, the biggest and broadest topics from the weekend of football, as well as some college football stuff. And, of course, that Tuesday will be the Elite Eight episode each week for the NFL season, where we reveal the top eight teams, according to myself, in the NFL. And then on Friday, we will be releasing each week a big kind of preview for the weekend's games coming up, as well as the Sinister Six podcast every week with Mac Fulton. He will be joining us every week for the Sinister Six, joint venture of NFL games and college games throughout the year. Our best six picks of the weeks. We will also have some betting stuff in there as well, against the spread, over unders, things like that. So stay tuned for those three episodes a week of the Educated Ignorance Podcast here on the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network. Be sure to tune in to the fastest rising podcast tag team on For Frequency Sake next week. Nick and CZ, they'll sit down with the head coach of the Black and Brave Academy, Merrick Brave, on Card Subject to Change. That will be an episode next Tuesday, September 27th. This is our weekly wrestling podcast. They come out every Tuesday with a new episode. So be sure to check them out again next Tuesday, the 27th. They will be interviewing Merrick Brave on their podcast. Should be a big show for them. Good for them. Great listen to for those guys. So we will, coming up next on this, two Monday night games that were a little underwhelming, but we roll on. We got some fantastic storylines to talk about in each of these games. And then the week to Elite Eight. We're not going to do a college roundup this weekend because Saturday was a cluster, you know what, and I was barely able to watch any college football. So we're going to pass on the college roundup this week. But we will have a lot of college talk in the Sinister Six pod that we record for Friday's show. But let's buckle up, get ready to roll. Educated Ignorance Podcast coming right at you. Elite Eight Edition, Monday Night Football. You know what it is. Let's roll. Monday night slate, but we got some stuff to talk about regardless. We're going to start with that Bills-Titans game, and holy Moses, we already knew how good the Bills were, but to actually see them rout a team like Tennessee the way they did, and it's kind of with the ease they did, I mean, man, it's... there's no doubt who the best team in the league is, folks. All right, I want to start with this. So this team is obviously a juggernaut, and what they are doing, the pressure they put on you offensively and defensively is in so many different ways that it's going to be hard for the main thing, obviously, is it's going to be hard for teams that aren't really, really elite, like the highest end of teams, to keep up, because they put pressure on you to do so much, whether it's defensively, all the different aspects you have to cover, whether it's Diggs, McKenzie, the run game, Josh Allen running the ball, the tight ends. Gabe Davis didn't play tonight, and they still hung 34 offensive points. 34 offensive points. They got to pick 6 at the end. There are so many things they do to pressure point a defense, and it is just ridiculous. They can be Smash Mouth. They can be Finesse. They can come downhill, beat you north and south, and they can also beat you and outflank you side to side. This is a Tennessee team that's tough, very, very physical, and you don't want to get into a barroom brawl with them. And the Bills just pushed them around, man. Like, that, it was no contest. Outside of the Titans kind of drive to answer after the Bills' opening score, it was just a mess. The Bills, defensively, what kind of pressure do they put on you there? A lot of it does, honestly, stem from their offense, because their offense forces, you know that they're going to put the outmost pressure on your defense. So the pressure that it takes for your offense to not even, it's not even just scoring points, but to make sure you at least get one first down so your defense doesn't come right back out onto the field. It'll put pressure on you to overthink certain situations. Do we call a third and six different to try to make it manageable to go for it on fourth down? Because we know we probably got to keep up with that power, with that other side of the field. There's so many different things that make, that the Bills makes you, there's different ways the Bills are going to make teams think this season and operate at an entirely different pace because of how much better they are than 95% of the teams they're going to play. Other teams that aren't Kansas City, the Chargers, maybe Baltimore, maybe Miami in the AFC. Like, is that like the Brown, other than like the Browns, until like the Browns, when, if they play them when they get Deshaun back, like, that's really it. NFC teams, I don't know if there's an NFC team right now that could line up against them and handle them. I don't know an NFC team that has the type of players that they do to play at that level. We saw the Rams just get throttled. And right now, the Bills are just clearly head and shoulders above the rest of the league. Josh Allen right now is on a different level. And he's one of, I think there's three quarterbacks in this league that are better than the rest. He's obviously one of those. And there's so many different things that he can do that are so impressive. Well, obviously the physique, the arm strength, the ability to throw all the different routes, the timing. Their stuff on timing, like their opening drives, is so just slick and on target, and they know what they're doing, and they make you, they put so much, we talk about the stress they put on a defense. Tonight was so great to see Stephon Diggs just be so unique in so many different ways, whether he's catching out, you know, whether he's catching underneath routes and turning it into a big play, whether he's being an RPO threat because Allen can just absolutely throw a laser beam between a corner and a linebacker, whether he can be a deep threat when he gets you to the top of a route and he can just break you down and you have no chance of guarding it. These are the types of things that the Bills do that just make them so, so tough to handle. And it's why I love watching this team, and I really believe this team, you know, it's why they're so good. For the other side of the coin here, the Titans, they're 0-2, and there's a lot of stuff to be desired right now. They are lacking creativity on the offensive side. They are struggling to be, you know, to give, you know, to have a jolt on that side of the ball. And there's a lot of tells with their offense. A lot of people were saying how, you know, you were able to tell when they were just going to hammer Derrick Henry with, you know, in certain positions. I was really impressed that they came from down, they went down 7-0, and then they had a really impressive drive to answer right back and go all, they had a couple fourth down conversions to come all the way right back down the field to tie the game. But after that, man, it was a whole lot of nothing. They couldn't stop committing penalties on offense. They couldn't sustain drives. They couldn't sustain a running game. They couldn't move the ball. And then defensively, it just came, as we said, the stress of, if your offense can't do anything against these guys, your defense has to be out there. And if your defense is tired against this team, man, it is just too hard. It's just too hard because they are going to make you pay for any mistake you make. And look, are they as bad as losing, as they are 0-2? Are the Titans as bad as getting beat 41-7? I don't think so. I think that's just how, this is just how special the Bills are. I will say this again. There is a lot of their teams they're going to play this year that they are going to blow out. There's a good chance they blow out the Dolphins next week, you know, because other than like the Chiefs and the Chargers right now, I would say they're 10-point favorites over almost everybody in the league, if you're being honest with me. At least 8, depending on where the game is at. That's just where I'm at right now with the Bills. All right, Eagles-Vikings. I'm really excited about this game. Jalen Hurts, man. Listen, we all know how critical I've been of him. We all know that I've been at, but I feel like I've been fair. I've just been saying, I want to see more. I want to see him do stuff. I don't like this thing with Justin Fields right now, man. We're at the point where it's like, I'm tired of excuses. I want to see you do things, you know? I want to see you look like a professional NFL quarterback. And boy, let me tell you, tonight was special. This easily was the best I've ever seen him look. This easily was the best game of his NFL career. He was absolutely on time, on target, disciplined, smart with the ball, decisive with the ball, knew where to go. The game plan was great. The schematics were great, and he was dialed in. Their first drive, man, was just breathtaking. The way they were going down the field and making you defend the entire – this, like I tell you, man, these dynamic offenses – what they do, and the Eagles can show tonight how they are that, because and it's more layered than a team like Minnesota or a team like Buffalo or team like Kansas City or team like, you know, I can't even say the Chargers, but like teams like that. You could throw in the Dolphins there, because the Eagles have a different style when it comes to how they're going to make you guard the entire 52 yards width of the field. It's not just the variation of routes they're running in the passing game and things like that. They also can kill you in the run game. And they went from being a team that never ran the ball the first month and a half last year to finishing as the number one rushing team in the NFL. They love their stable of running backs. I think they have the best running quarterback in the league. Let me rephrase. They have the smartest running quarterback in the league. The difference between him and then you have like Kyler and Lamar. Lamar is obviously the best running quarterback in the league. He's one of one. He's a game breaker. Kyler is just a ridiculous athlete. But I think the one difference between Jalen Hurts and them is Jalen Hurts doesn't take the hits. You know, he's very smart and calculated. He's very smart too, where in understanding the offense, it really, what tonight showed me is that Jalen Hurts is understanding the offense that they want to run in Philadelphia. And he is maximizing each and every situation that they are in. The play calls they were running, the confidence that they were running, the throws that he was making, that was really good, a really good sign for me as someone who, I don't hate Jalen Hurts. I was, the criticism I was giving him last year was me being legit and saying, listen, I'm not going to give you an excuse. I need to see you do better. And right now, that, like, what I saw last week with some decision making and his ability to make things happen, and then what I saw tonight, fantastic. He was awesome. The Eagles defense tonight, shutting down a Vikings offense that I think is going to be really good. And I believe, listen, man, Vikings tonight just had no rhythm, and people are going to overreact and lose their minds and talk about how, oh, Kirk sucks, wooda wooda, blah, blah, blah. Look, they were not able, no one was able to get open. The Eagles were blitzing a lot, running a lot of cover one. They were basically putting their corners on guys. Darius Slay was fantastic tonight, by the way. He was so good. And they, look, the Vikings had no answer for any time the Eagles defense brought pressure. The Eagles have a lot of really good guys up front. Listen, this offseason, the Eagles went for it. The Eagles and the Dolphins, man, are almost one in the same. Two teams that have quarterbacks that are in the same type of situation that both are pretty much fighting for their careers. We're going to load these teams up with gifted players on both sides of the ball, and we're going to find out how good you are. And right now, both guys are succeeding. The Eagles and the Dolphins right now, one and the same to me. And both kids behind under center are really balling out. And Hurts today, man, again, I got to tip the – like I have said, and it's true with this Eagles team, they can easily go 11-6, 12-5 in spite of Hurts, if Hurts is average or below average, because they have a lot of pieces that work and are going to succeed. The running game, the defense, they have enough big play wide receivers to where he just has to make a couple plays a game, even if the rest doesn't look good. And his running game, like Hurts in the running game, will outweigh a lot of the stuff if he's not a good passer. But tonight showed me, and hyperbolic, overreactory, whatever. Tonight showed me, you get that Jalen Hurts, that's a team that can compete for a title. Absolutely. That is a team that's in the short list of being a team that can compete for a championship. If you get that Jalen Hurts, absolutely brilliant performance. He was spectacular. A.J. Brown, again, making plays. After last week getting goose-egged in the catch column, they went right to Devontae Smith over and over again. He had a fantastic night. The Miles Sanders resurrection as their number one running back. Kenneth Gainwell getting good looks. They're hitting Quez Watkins on deep balls. Everything was clicking tonight. Hats off to the Eagles. Very impressive. Can't wait to see how they move on going forward. And they got a chance to have a really good start. Their schedule here at the beginning of the season, now after this, soft. A very favorable schedule. And they're, no, I shouldn't say soft, but I should say favorable. This is a stretch for them. They get Washington next week. That's a game you could absolutely win. And then I believe they get a bye and then Dallas. Very good chance to start 4-0, maybe 5-0. Good stuff on the horizon for the Eagles. We are going to take a quick break, and we will have the Elite Eight coming up next. This episode is brought to you by Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill in Moline and Davenport. Chase away your Sunday scaries at Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill this season. Located in the Belgium neighborhood of 7th Street in Moline, Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill is home to some of the Quad City's best food and drink specials. On Sunday, there's no better place to be. Clint's is serving up 75-cent wings and $4 Bloody Marys all day. And is your favorite team playing in those out-of-market games? Well, you'll never miss a second of the action on one of their 10 screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. And after you've had your wing and bloody fix, finish off your football watching experience with one of their famous Quad City style pop pizzas. And folks, they know pizza. They've been spinning QC style pies for the last 22 years. So make Clint's part of your Sunday football routine. Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill, 7th Street in Moline. And also, Clint is now serving up their famous pizza and fried chicken on the Iowa side of the river as well. Clint's Pizza House and Chicken opens up daily at 4 p.m. so everyone in the Quad Cities can enjoy their QC-style pizza and Henny Penny fried chicken. That's Clint Pizza House and Chicken, 7th Street Moline and 1601 West 3rd Street in Davenport. All right, Elite Eight time. Favorite time of the week for a lot of people because they get to, feed in to where I'm at on when I gauge the NFL. And here we go, top eight teams in the NFL. So 7 of the 8 teams from last week are still in. One team fell out, and that was Green Bay. One new team in, I'm sure you can all guess who it is. Number 8, we're going to start with number 8. We're going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Through 2 weeks, offenses looked shaky, defenses looked impressive, caveats to both. Number 1, offensive line issues in week 1. Number 2, same thing. Their play calling is really weird. Real quick, the Jacksonville Jaguars dodged a bullet in, hiring Byron Leftwich instead. Hiring Doug Peterson instead of Byron Leftwich. Shout out to the Jags. Anywho, the Bucs. A lot of things offensively are going to be better over time if guys are able to come back. But with no Julio, no Godwin, and then Evans being knocked out, like you knew that they were going to struggle today or Sunday against New Orleans. You just knew it was going to happen. I really liked the grit, though. And the thing I love the most about Brady in games like that is he's going to know exactly what to do, whether it be to sustain drives. You know, any situation, we're just not going to make those mistakes. We're always going to try to put our defense in the best position, and then you're going to be the one that makes a mistake, which, well, guess what happened? Jameis Winston gave the ball away 3 times in the fourth quarter, done, dusted, Bucks win. Is their play like this sustainable? I don't know. That game against Green Bay is going to be very telling, because here's the thing. Even with the O-line problems they have right now, they're running the ball. They ran the ball well against Dallas. Now, the Saints are much different. Can they handle some of the good players on the Packers' front? I also do think, though, that the Packers' defensive front is very susceptible to the run game. So we're going to see if the Bucks can get Leonard Fournette going. I think they're really going to need Julio back in order to beat Green Bay. Obviously, probably Godwin will be out for a bit, but if they can get Julio back, that'll be good, because the big thing is Mike Evans probably isn't going to play Sunday because of his little incident and he got suspended. So they play Green Bay at home, though, but it's going to be really tough. They're going to need their defense to play really well and be aggressive. If they can beat Green Bay without any of their top receivers, that would be really damn impressive. All right, number 7, Minnesota. Let's not burn the boats yet, folks. The Vikings will be fine. They just got pounded tonight in the link, which was levitating. Really awesome to see. And that Eagles defense was clicking, and they struggled defensively to play to the tempo that the Eagles offense was playing with. A couple worries for me. See, their secondary is rough. Their defense is going to be good in moments when the Vikings can get a lead and then let their pass rush hunt. Let Smith, Jones, Daniil Hunter, but those guys work, but they need to get leads early. This is a team this year that will probably struggle from coming from behind, because I don't think they have the ability. They don't have good pass pro running backs. They don't have the greatest O-line. This team is going to have to, as good as I think they can be, they are going to have to operate in a bit of a box. They're going to have to be good early in order to win these types of games late. So right now, I have the Vikings at 7. Nothing to worry too much about yet, but there are a few concerning things, and I will be interested to see how they handle those going forward. Number 6, the Baltimore Ravens. Now, this team is still really good. They're going to be really good. No worries here. At the end of the day, their secondary, again, is a mess. A lot of guys are out. They weren't on the same page. The Dolphins' offense is also very hard to cover and very hard to game plan for. I do think that their offense, in this game, we were worried about it with the, you know, Greg Roman not being a great offensive coach and stuff like that. I think we were able to see on Sunday that their offense is still going to be fine because Lamar is dynamic. Now, here's the thing. They need to get Gus Edwards back. They need to get J.K. Dobbins back. This team needs to have a stable running game so that their passing game can be more effective, because it is effective. And, like, Andrews is really good. Rashad Bateman is a very good receiver. The issue that they have right now is it's all Lamar, man. He has to be, obviously, cooking in the passing game. He's the only guy that you can consistently count on to be a good runner for them. They need to get back their running back depth. That will help this offense go, and that is where this Ravens team can take the next huge step. Number 5, the Miami Dolphins. We talked a lot about them yesterday on the pod. Here's what I'll say. Listen, I've crapped on Tua a lot, and I've been up and down on him since he got going as an NFL starter. But what you cannot dispute is that this dude has absolute stones. He has balls that are bigger than anyone's on the planet. And he is a leader. And that locker room believes in him. And he is doing the right things for this team. Now, I have a lot of faith right now in what this team can do going forward because of their coaching and the players they have on both sides. Would love to see them be more consistent up front defensively, And I would like to see, you know, Xavier Howard not be a piece of burnt toast like he was on Sunday. I think this team's going to be fine. Now, it's not the barometer for Sunday or for this team on Sunday, because I think that was this week. But they do get Buffalo. Now they do, granted, they get them at home. If you can hang around or by all means win that game, okay. Now we are like, conversations are going to be had. But I do believe this team is absolutely for real. Now, here's what I want. I do not. Buffalo, though, is going to murder a lot of teams this year. If I'm, as a Dolphins supporter, I do not want to see them go and get 45-14 like they have been against these guys the last few years. This is where I need to see them take another step against a team that has really owned them. You know, have a good game plan, do what you can to limit mistakes, and be there and have a shot against the Bills juggernaut on Sunday. We'll take another break. We'll have the top four next here on the Educated Ignorance Pod. Today's episode is brought to you by Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar in Rock Island. It's the place to be every Sunday this football season. Barbecue Chris will be in the house every week smoking the place up with his amazing menu or mouth-watering barbecues. Cavies will have every game on inside and outside their numerous TV screens. Plus, you can play their adult video games, and they have the loosest slots around. Check out Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar, 1228 30th Street in Rock Island. With baseball playoffs right around the corner, over a month away, and the NFL and college football seasons right on our tail, it's the perfect time of year to get your daily fantasy sports life in order. For Frequency's Sake has you covered every single week. Tune in to For Frequency's Sake's DFS Deep Dive on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch every Friday evening, and upload it every Saturday morning on your favorite podcast platform, where Brian and the boys will be giving you the best daily fantasy sports advice for each and every week to help you fatten your wallet this season. Again, on every Friday night live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, and of course, uploaded on your favorite podcast platform on Saturday mornings. DFS advice, DFS deep dive here on the For Frequency's Sake Podcast Network. All right, let's get down to the nitty gritty. The top four teams in the National Football League, according to your boy, through 2 weeks. Number four, the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, so again, a lot to love with what we saw tonight and the Jalen Hurts thing, the improvements he made, and a lot of stuff with their defense, their line play. It's very good. I mean, I had him at 6 last week. There's a reason I can't put him ahead of the rest of the league, but when it just comes down to the raw stuff with them, they're clearly the best team in the NFC I've seen. They are clearly they have the most things that threaten you, I believe. When you look at the three different, like all the ways that their offense can attack you. Running game, quarterback running game, deep balls, intermediate routes, quick passing. And their defense, defensive line pressure. They're not afraid to blitz. They showed that tonight. Good corners that could play one-on-one against, we saw tonight, really good receivers. So I don't believe I think this Eagles team right now has very limited amount of weaknesses. And I'm really, really strongly behind them as what I believe to be the best team currently in the NFC. Number three, highest team with currently a loss. There was no way I was going to move them down out of this spot after Saturday or Thursday night. That's the Los Angeles Chargers. Very impressive showing that at the end of the day, the Chargers just kind of got, you know, outlasted by the Chiefs. The thing I said on Thursday was the Chargers will be able to take that next step when guys make plays, and that was the difference between them and Kansas City, and that is very true. They were the better team on Thursday night, and they just didn't make enough plays in the right spots. As we had stated before, you know, the Chargers had a chance for a pick. They had the Asante Samuel opportunity for a pick earlier in the third quarter, got overturned because he dropped it. Like, he, even though I think it was a bad call, regardless, he shouldn't have even been that close. And then on a later drive, he had a chance to pick a ball in the end zone on a ball Mahomes kind of underthrew. And if he would have picked it, it probably would have been a pick six. He doesn't make that play. And for the Chiefs, they do have a guy that makes that play in the that Watson kid. So those are the differences between the Chargers and the top and the elite teams in the league. They're one of them, but like the difference between them and a team like Buffalo and Kansas City, the two teams that I have ahead of them, obviously, spoiler alert, I can trust those two teams to make plays. Right now, I can't when it comes to the Chargers in these big games. Number two, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, I've definitely thrown myself into the knife talking about how wrong I was thinking they're under. They're fantastic. They're so good. Their offensive line is great. Their quarterback is great. They have so many They have so many different guys. Now, listen, I don't think any of them are game breakers. I've stated this. But the depth that they have to be able to beat you in a bajillion different ways, I believe is great. Mahomes out there trying to prove a point, you know, on the offensive side. Defensively, I think they have a solid front four. Outside of that, it gets a little sketchy for them. We're going to see what happens when they start facing some teams that maybe can beat them over the top and can pressure them with vertical routes. But this is going to be a team, guys, that wins 12 games at least. They are that good, and I was so wrong on them thinking under. I just didn't expect to see them this fluent, this fast, and they have been offensively. Now, again, it looked a lot tougher against a team that actually has defensive attributes in the Chargers on Thursday, and the Colts are going to be desperate and playing for their lives next week, so that game is going to be very fascinating to see how it matches up. I think Colts in the points is a really good play, potentially. I think right now it's like 6.5. Wouldn't be shocked if the public bet it up to, you know, 7, because a lot of 7.5, a lot of people are going to be fading the Colts, but the Colts are going to be playing desperate on Sunday. So the Chiefs are going to obviously have to bring it. If the Chiefs come out of Sunday 3-0, but with another, like, really comfortable win, then it's like, all right, yeah. They're not in the Bills territory, I think, yet, but they're a team that's showing they're not messing around. And, of course, number one, the Buffalo Bills. No one circles the wagons like them. They are a wagon. They're a juggernaut. As of right now, through two games, it's them and the field. I think the Chiefs are in their ballpark, but every single day that goes by on this planet, they distance the gap, and we saw it again tonight. I did not expect what they did against Tennessee. They absolutely thoroughly dominated them. It was close early, 7-0 to start for Buffalo. Tennessee comes right down to tie the game, and the Bills said, enough of that shit. We're going to just roll. And it was such an emphatic, dominant performance. This Bills team, so many different ways they put stress on you as a team, offensively, defensively, and the coaching staff to make sure you have to be perfect in order to beat them or even just contend with them, because you know that on that other side, there's going to be so many things that there's going to be so many buttons that they press that are going to be right. And right now, the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the NFL. So the top eight, we have number eight, the Bucs; number seven, the Vikings; number six, the Ravens; number five, the Dolphins; number four, the Eagles; three, the Chargers; two, the Chiefs; and number one, the Bills. We have our biggest mover, the Dolphins, going from unranked to fifth. Eagles went from 6 to 4. Biggest faller, Packers from 8 to out, and the Vikings from 4th to 7th. Teams that I'll probably have right on the fringe, Packers and Rams. If the Browns would have held on to the Jets, I probably would have put them in at 8, but they didn't, so slightly unfortunate. Other than that, that's it for the Elite 8. We'll step aside one more time. We'll come back to wrap things up next. Today's episode is brought to you by Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar in Rock Island. It's the place to be every Sunday this football season. Barbecue Chris will be in the house every week smoking the place up with his amazing menu or mouth-watering barbecues. Cavies will have every game on inside and outside their numerous TV screens. Plus, you can play their adult video games, and they have the loosest slots around. Check out Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar, 1228 30th Street in Rock Island. All right, that's going to do it. Shout out to Doug and DJ back at our HQ, as I like to call it. I'm going to call it now. Getting us up and on. For those that are interested, tune in this Sunday. I'll be on the show again for the Best Bets segment. Our next show here will be Friday. We'll have a Thursday Night Football recap. It'll probably not be as... it might be in-depth. I'm sure it'll be an interesting game. It's a team I care about, the Browns. And the Steelers, so that game will be interesting in some way, shape, or form. We will have that game breaking it down here on the pod. And then, of course, our Sinister Six segment. We need a big bounce-back week for me and Mac. And we're going to hope to get that here when we record on Wednesday. So that'll be out on Friday, Thursday Night Football recap, and the Sinister Six segment. So, until then, thank you all for listening. Of course, like the podcast, share, follow, subscribe, tell a friend, all that good stuff. Leave comments, tell us what you think. Just tell me you listened if you're here listening at the end. I would really appreciate it. Until next time, again, thank you all for listening. This has been the Educated Ignorance Podcast. As always, remember, if you ain't got your game, you better pass the sticks. We will see you on Friday. Until then, I'm Joe Engel. We are out.